Welcome back. We're now going to wrap up our semester with our last case. And it's the case of Sabine versus Payne, whereby C. Olivia Sabine sues Maggie Payne, and that's kind of a mouthful, relating to a negotiable instrument. What happened was that a promissory note, and that's what this case involved, was made by Maggie Payne in the sum of $2,100. And the note was payable 4 months after the date to the order of Eugene Vacheron, who was a former assemblyman and an attorney, incidentally was charged with bribery as a member of the assembly and had to resign to mount a defense. And he did mount his defense and he was acquitted. But he was a rather prominent attorney. The note was delivered to Mr. Vacheron for the purposes of having it discounted. He endorsed it and transferred it over to the plaintiff for the sum of $1,850. Okay. So you have this note, and it's originally for $2,100, and it was discounted and turned over for $1,850. And it's undisputed that Miss Sabine is a holder in due course because it was turned over from Vacheron to Sabine. And she's a holder in due course, didn't recognize that there was any problems with the note, and didn't recognize she took it for value. She gave $1,850, didn't recognize any defenses or that it was past the due date or any of those things. So she was clearly a holder in due course, and the court recognized that. The question became was this note from its inception usurious? And we'll get to that in a minute. But the court defined a holder in due course as a holder who takes the instrument under the following conditions: that is complete and regular on its face, that the holder took it before they were overdue, before the note is overdue, that means that it's still payable, without notice that it had been previously dishonored, which of course it wasn't, that they took it in good faith and for value, they paid that $1,800 for it. And at the time it was negotiated, they had no notice of any infirmity in the instrument or defect in the title upon the person negotiating it. And obviously, since it was made out, the original promissory note was made out to Assemblyman Vacheron, there was no defect either in the title of the person negotiating it because she bought it off of the person to whom it was made. So the sole question here was, does a usurious note defeat the holder in due course status? What they found was this promissory note required the payment with interest that was above the amount which the New York State statutes declared as usurious. There's statutes under the state judiciary law that state how much interest someone can charge. And this note was above that rate of interest in its repayment. Again, that wasn't questioned. It was not known by Miss Sabine at the time because she didn't know what that rate was. She only knew what the note was payable for. So as a result of this, now, whether or not Vacheron knew, that's another question. But Vacheron never clued her in. So clearly, Olivia Sabine was a holder in due course. And the question is this note, which was usurious, valid? Could it be paid out on? Because Sabine says, I want to be paid. I paid $1,800 for this note. And the court said, that the note from its inception, from the time of its making, is invalid as a matter of law. Why? Because you can't have a promissory note which charges above the rate of interest that's legally allowable. So as a result, this note was invalid from the day it was made. And the court said, we don't care who takes it as a holder. This instrument is void. It's void as a matter of law. It was void at the time it was made. It's void after it's negotiated. So the fact that it was negotiated as a holder in due course, this is one of the universal defenses. You have to have a legal instrument. It's not a valid instrument. And that threshold of the validity of the instrument is a universal defense that goes against a holder in due course. So the only place that Ms. Sabine could seek a remedy from is Mr. Vasseron, because he's the party to which she paid the $1,850. He's the one that gave her the note. He could go against her. And the fact that she went against Maggie Payne, well, Maggie Payne doesn't have to pay it. Why? Because of the fact that it was usurious from the start. So as a result of that, the note was null and void, and she doesn't have to get payment or won't get payment from Maggie Payne. And that wraps it up. Universal defenses, the fact that the note was null and void from day one because it was invalid because it broke the usury laws, means that the note was not valid. My friends, I thank you so much for your attention and for your interest in our class. I hope you can take another class with us someday. I hope it can be live. And I wish you all the best and your family all the best as we move forward on it. God bless you all. Thank you.